The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
George Brocklebeck with you here halfway through the show on this Thursday, 18 August. We turn it over to Charlie Kirk at 10, and then we go live and local with Stefan from 3 to 7. Taste of Douglas County tonight. I'd love to try to figure out a way to get down there. You heard Mike Boyle come in the other day and tell us about it. I'm anxious to put on weight and for a reasonable price, and if you get the tickets ahead of time, it's only $10, $20 at the gate, and you can do just that. Listen to the show intro. I do take a great deal of pride in being a veteran. I'd like to see more of us stick up our hand and jump into the public arena because I think a commitment to those kinds of values and to things bigger than you, the individual, matters. And so I'm thrilled to be able to bring back online right now I can't say frequent guest, but you've been on a bunch of times. It's a Republican nominee for the 7th Congressional District, Eric Odlin, also a big-time veteran. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, George. Good to be back with you.
Listen, we are in the I guess it's the stretch, right? Like ballots go out in 15 minutes. When do they go out?
October 17th.
Oh my goodness.
About 2 months.
Yeah, shortly after my birthday. I'm going to be 39. Kidding. how's the race going right now? And as you work your way around that very competitive district, what is it that people are asking you about? What's the issue that's at the front and center of their minds?
Well, first of all, things are going very well. We've got polling that indicates it's a neck-and-neck race. But the best thing about the polling is it indicates that if we educate voters, George, we get a 15-point swing in our direction. So we win this district. In terms of what people are talking about, number one is the economy. People are feeling inflation, and they're feeling the price of the fuel pump. They're feeling the price of groceries. They're struggling. Hardworking families are struggling in my district because of progressive policies. They're recognizing that they need a change and they need wise solutions to address our economic woes, address the energy crisis, and a whole host of other issues, especially crime.
There's a big time show, Eric, you're too young to probably remember this, that was super awesome to watch back in the 80s on NBC called Cheers. Are you familiar with that show?
Of course. I'm not that young.
Okay, listen. There's a character on Cheers named Norm. Norm has a wife named Vera, and the running joke throughout the 800 seasons it was on was nobody has ever seen Vera. Has anybody ever seen your opponent's husband? I mean, has he shown up at all anywhere on the campaign trail? And it's an important question only because he is a hyper-partisan, super capital triple P progressive who I imagine they share the same political views. But this guy is absent from every little bit of social media I've ever seen regarding your opponent's campaign.
Well, he writes a bunch of crazy things, and those can be found. I mean, he was writing – I think he still writes for the Denver Post.
No, they put him on hiatus.
Okay, well, you can find enough to indicate that he's as far left as
he
gets.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And that I would expect my opponent reflects his perspectives. She's a radical. I mean, we can see what she's done to decriminalize fentanyl, which is a leading cause of death in this country. It's sad to see. She's worked to undermine law enforcement, big government policies that are resulting in higher costs all across Colorado. But it's hard to know what she stands for. I think people should look at my website and see the dramatic difference between my opponents, which has nothing. I mean, right now, Democrats created these crises, George, and they have no solutions to fix it. And we're going to bring some reason and soundness and balance to address the economy and crime and energy and national security. We're going to win this race.
Having been through this a couple times, you know, there's the opportunities to do these forums, which are always mislabeled as debates. And I really believe you can't win an election with those, but you can lose them. And that's why some candidates are afraid to engage in them. Do you guys have any forums scheduled?
There is a forum coming up at the end of September with the League of Women Voters, but there need to be more.
Yes,
and I want to take the stage. I want people to see the contrast between me and my opponent. They need to understand where we stand and what solutions we're going to bring. And I would say my opponent has no solutions.
Has she been running on anything related to the Biden, let's blow up the economy bills that have passed recently?
I haven't seen her talk about the economy at all, which is disturbing.
And we
can talk about this this so-called Inflation Reduction Act, which will do nothing to address inflation. In fact, it will negatively contribute to inflation and ultimately come after the middle class. They're going to weaponize the IRS. Why are they doubling the size? In fact, I met with Minority Whip Steve Scalise last night, and we were talking about how Republicans proposed an amendment to prevent the IRS from targeting the middle and lower classes, and not one Democrat would vote in support of it.
Oh, my good grief. Even though they're out there in the press saying, no, it'll never be used on the middle class. I mean, the majority of the audits right now are the middle class. I mean, come on.
That's right. And I don't know how you trust Democrats at this point, because they are deceptive at every turn.
When you look at what took place just up north of us this week with the Liz Cheney primary, and you've seen some of the things in Arizona, is there a message in there for the Republican Party about the direction that they want to go? Is there a message in there about Trump's vice-like hold on the party?
Well, in Colorado, I think people largely reject President Trump, whether we like it or not, whether we agree with his policies or not. What people are looking for is to get away from partisan politics. They want elected representatives who are going to do the right thing for their constituents, who aren't going to be about big personality, but are going to be about positive solutions to the crises we're facing. I think people are tired of the hyper-partisanship, and they just want people who are going to serve them and do what's right. And that is so much missing in our political process in many respects in both parties.
Now, I think you're going to win. I want you to win. Let's just put you in that position right now. You become a member of Congress. You call up your buddy Steve Scalise and say, I would sure love to serve on these committees. What are they?
My first choice is energy and commerce. I spent a decade in the energy sector. I have a lot to offer in terms of helping us restore our energy independence and getting some balance to our energy policy. Of course, I'm a student of national security. I think I, as a combat veteran, would be a great fit for the Armed Services Committee. We've got to address our military readiness. It's in decline. Recruitment numbers are at an all-time low. We've got this problem with wokeness, especially at the military academies, I'd like to see addressed. We've got to secure the southern border, which is a national security disaster being exploited by cartels and criminal elements. And we've got to get soundness there. We're experiencing unprecedented global instability that's emboldening our enemies. So both energy policy and national security, I have a good grasp of, and I can offer some soundness and wisdom there.
You brought up the military piece of this thing, obviously near and dear to your heart. Same here. I want to get a little more myopically focused on me on this, and I'm still a member of the Guard out here. Do you see the transition for the military involving an increased, expanded role for the Guard and Reserve while we're trying to navigate what we do with right-sizing the active duty force? And I ask that in the context of knowing that right now the NDAA is proposing a reduced budget for both the Guard and the Reserve. What do you do with that?
Well, I think we need to sustain the readiness of the National Guard and the Army or the military reserves. They're a component of our national security. I do think there needs to be comprehensive reform to make sure that our military is poised to address emerging technology and instability across the globe. And there are ways to do that efficiently. I think we've been inefficient in our military expenditures. I think the budget is for the military is at an all-time high, but we're having trouble with the blocking and tackling in our military, which is recruiting good
That's
people
huge.
Who are fit. Yeah, I mean, if you can't get people who are capable of going into combat and having the right fitness to accomplish the objectives, then everything else loses its effectiveness. So we've got to address a lot of it. And I think a lot of it is the cultural aspects of the military, George. As we've talked before, the military is not a democracy. It's not meant for social justice. Nope. It is meant to go fight and win our nation's wars. And that means doing violence on behalf of the American people. And so it's a meritocracy. We got to get rid of the wokeness. It's got to be about doing what's right on behalf of the nation. And when I was in combat, I wasn't worried about or wasn't even thinking about the skin color or, sexual preference or any of those superficial differences. I was worried about, did somebody have my back and could they do the job?
You talked about the energy commission or committee that you'd like to be on. We're talking with Eric Odland, Republican nominee for the 7th Congressional District. The Inflation Restoration Act that the president just signed contains, according to Senator Manchin out of West Virginia, protections for oil and gas that are going to help. Do you see that in there? What do you think about that?
No, I see a lot of fees that are going to be imposed on the industry. I don't see any movement to restoring domestic production. I see a lot of Green New Deal aspects. In fact, I see a lot of incentives for the most wealthiest amongst us. I don't see how this restores our energy independence or gets domestic production back online. And we need to do that. That's core to our economy. It's core to our national security. It's a hedge against inflation. And we need balanced policy there, George, not championing one source over the other erroneously, but seeking economic viability and transitioning to accept all sources. One thing we should be exploring is nuclear energy, especially if we're concerned about emissions.
Let me ask you this, too, because I can't imagine having this next conversation with your opponent based on her experience and background, but I can with you. And that is, let's talk about two big things on everyone's radar at the world level, Ukraine and Taiwan. Tell me about Ukraine. What do we need to be doing there? Where do you come in on what we've done so far?
Well, it's nice to see that Russia has failed in so many respects, and we want Russia weaker. They are not a friend of ours, and we need to have a strategy that deals with Russia. But I've always said that China is the much greater threat to global freedom, and we've got to look at China as an enemy. They are committing genocide. They openly talk about global domination. They're colonizing Africa. They're a major economic threat to the United States. They are rattling their sabers at Taiwan. But what I've said from the beginning is we've got to address the fundamentals of American strength so we can project power long into the future. America, as the global superpower, is a good thing for the world. I mean, we are a constitutional republic. We have the right values, and we encourage freedom, whereas China does not. And I think there's a lot of naivety, especially coming from the left with respect to China. But if we don't address our economy, we don't have secure borders, we don't address domestic crime and make sure our education system is one of the best in the world, then we're going to lose our primacy, and we're going to cede that to China, and that would be disastrous.
When you look at Taiwan and you see the recent headlines involving Speaker Pelosi going there and then some of the other congressional delegation now following on after they see she didn't get shot down, what are your thoughts on that? And I'm not looking to convert you into a cheerleader for her, but I got to say, I mean, there's a certain part of me that's like, screw you, China. You're not going to tell us where we can go, you know?
Well, I was in the uncomfortable position of having to support her trip after she'd indicated she was going to go. We couldn't count out of China. She had to make the trip. We couldn't let their threats dissuade us. But I question the reason behind the trip to begin with. I don't think it was the appropriate show of force.
What do you think was going on? Why did she do it, and why at that time? I mean, what was the purpose of it?
I'm still struggling to understand that, George. I don't know why she took that trip. I think there are better ways of demonstrating to China that we're strong. We're still the best military in the world. We're still the strongest nation in the world. But the world saw the disaster in Afghanistan. We just had the 1 year anniversary of that catastrophic failure, which signaled weakness and incompetence to the rest of the world, including China.
Oh,
and Russia took advantage of it. So we've got to restore peace through strength policies. I'm not an isolationist. I think there's a balance there. But it all starts with the fundamentals of American strength, and China needs to recognize that they shouldn't make a mistake, because we're on guard and we're capable of deterring China. But that is a very complex situation. And of course, I don't have access to the intelligence briefings that are informing U.S. policy. But I just as an outside observer, we're off track and we've got to rectify it.
I just presume, given where you've been and what you've done, that had to be a huge gut punch. That withdrawal from Afghanistan and how it went down, that's got to sting.
More than sting. I mean, when it first happened, especially with the major loss of life, 13 service members, greatest loss of life in one day than 2 years previously. And then just the embarrassment and what's happened to Afghanistan since we left. In fact, I wrote an op-ed recently in the Denver Gazette about that failure. Having served there, it makes me sick. I think it's affected morale and welfare in our armed services, and veterans are looking at it with dismay and wondering what's going on with the top leadership of the military and the top civilian leadership, because this was gross incompetence. Everyone knew what would happen if we withdrew in such a disorderly way.
You know, for what it's worth, too, I just sat in on a meeting that involved Representative Jason Crow, also an Army veteran, Ranger, airborne guy, 82nd Airborne dude, who had said, listen, I believed we needed to leave to Afghanistan, but he was very critical of the exact same things you are, and that is the method and timing of when we got out of there. So I think that's a consistent theme. I think the other thing that you know, Eric, that I have heard a bunch of these other super smart military folks talk about and world leaders, is that failure there had an impact on Russia's decision about moving into the Ukraine. Now, it may turn out that it cost them far more than they ever thought it would, and it's been mishandled, but the decision to move across that border included an analysis of how goofed up we were in Afghanistan.
Well, I agree with you, George. The world's watching everything we do, and that failure in Afghanistan sent a message of weakness and confidence. But I was of the mind, I was in Afghanistan over a decade ago, from 2009 to 2010, and I recognized that we should probably have not been there as long as we were. But what we had reached with a pretty small contingent of a few thousand boots on the ground and, you know, ability to project force with our Air Force and other technological methods, including special forces, we had achieved a relative amount of stability in Afghanistan. And I think we could have sustained that instead of just giving it up. It is a strategic location. That's why it's been fought over for millennia. And a significant reserve of rare earth metals that I expect China will capitalize on, and that's significant to energy. So a complex situation, but I might have sustained that small contingent because it was working.
Before we cut you loose, what's the next big thing we need to be looking for in your race for the 7th Congressional District with your opponent?
Well, expect things to heat up, especially after Labor Day. I mean, we're not resting. We're already out canvassing. We're at a full court press to win this and to connect with voters and demonstrate that we're going to bring reason and balance and try to get by the hyper partisanship and really connect with working class families in this district and serve them. And so just expect things to very much heat up. But we're going to demonstrate why I'm the right candidate, why I'm going to serve this constituency and do the right thing in Washington, D.C. I think it's going to get ugly. This is a nationally targeted race. There's going to be a lot of money pouring in from both sides because people recognize that this is a dead heat.
I think you've got the wind at your back, man. I'm telling you, there are some certain things that give me some concern nationally about how big the margin of victory is. I think we take back the House. I think you end up serving in the majority. But by and large, at the end of the day, and I grew up in Jeffco, brother, I just get the feeling RD or you folks are going to sit there and look and say, do I want the guy who put boots on the ground to back up his pledge to his country, or do I want the woman in place who wants to bring open-air drug markets to my community? I think that's an easy choice.
Well, I appreciate that, George. I mean, the fact is my opponent is a career politician. That's all she's done. She has no real-world experience. Compare our websites. She has no solutions. In fact, Democrats created these crises to begin with. And so they're not going to solve anything. They're going to continue to drive inflation up. They're going to continue to undermine our law enforcement and make our streets less safe. And that's not what voters want. I'm going to support law enforcement. I'm going to have policies that actually bring this economy back in line and create opportunities for our children. And we're going to solve the issues of the day. But we've got to take command of the House. I don't think people should be too comfortable that there's going to be a sweeping red wave. We shouldn't rest on our laurels. We've got to really, sprint hard to the finish line and continue to speak reasonably in a way that is not just about serving Republicans, but serving all the constituents of Colorado and District 7.
Agreed. Eric Odlin, Republican nominee for the 7th Congressional District. I know we'll have you back on before this whole thing settles. So thanks for coming on this morning.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, George. It's great to hear your voice. You were gone for a few weeks.
Little so war college, you. Brother. It was war college. Okay. So awesome. Glad to be done with it.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks, man. Hey, that was Eric Odlin. I know we'll talk with him again in the future. Thanks for taking some time out of the campaign to get to us. You know, if you listen to the top of the 6 o'clock hour, Billy told you about a real estate steal, not a deal, a steal, on a place called Iguana Island right outside of Nicaragua that comes with a great house. We looked at the pictures, fantastic. You might not be in the market for a house on Iguana Island, but you may very likely be in the market for a house somewhere here in the Denver metro area. And if that's the case, your real estate Sherpa, the person you need to navigate these very challenging waters at interest rates and mortgage rates do this, that, and the other, is our friend Gay Ribble with Empower Home Team of Keller Williams Realty, DTC. Gay's the bomb. You've heard me sing her praises day in and day out for a long, long time here. She's not just a regional expert in this area because of all of her time and know-how. I don't think I've mentioned this in a while, but when we got together and met, she made me smarter on the real estate market, just telling me about things that I thought, oh my God, that makes total sense. Had never thought of that before. She's also fantastic in this way. She's the kind of person that will back up what she says with writing. So she'll guarantee to sell your home at 100% of your agreed upon asking price, or she'll pay you the difference in cash. She's able to do it because she has all of the buyers. She's done wizardry-like things in real estate for Adam and Littleton, Wayne and Lisa in Centennial. And the fact that she'll do it in writing tells you something about who she is. She wants you to hold her accountable for the promises that she makes and the effort that she puts in. Who else in the private sector does that? That's the kind of thing I look for. And by the way, the cherry on top of this, she's a great human being, completely invested in, passionate about, and motivated to see the expansion of adoption. That touches my life directly, and so I'm a big, big fan. You can reach out to her and the whole Empower Home team at 833-301-SOLD. 833-301-SOLD. Or you can visit her online, gayhasthebuyers.com. That's Gay, G-A-Y-E, hasthebuyers.com. When we come back, we'll reset the topic after that great interview with Eric Odlin, and we'll get back to the 8 billion texts that have poured in. Going to ask this affidavit for the search warrant for Mar-a-Lago. Why does it need to be released right now? What do you think is in there? 303-696-1971. George Brockman on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS. My thanks to Eric Odlin, Republican nominee for the 7th Congressional District. Under the caption, folks just hear what they want to hear. Got even an email in that I looked at over the break suggesting that somehow Eric was a never Trumper. That is crack smoke crazy. I've never heard such words come out of his mouth. In fact, I think it's quite the opposite. I think he was just commenting on the situation here in the state of Colorado. But again, folks that have cross that line into, hey, I'm a Trump fan, to I am a ridiculous cult of personalities believer, you can tell in the difference. And that is the guy is the Jesus of politics, and therefore anyone who doesn't get in bed with them must be opposed to him. That's just crazy. But along those lines, started the conversation back in the 6th and then really developed it in the 7th and had some interesting calls. I was going to say good call, interesting calls from the Bryans on this issue of whether or not the affidavit that led to the search warrant issued by Magistrate Bruce Reinhart out of Florida should be made public. And today, Now, I haven't seen any news saying it. If you guys see this, let me know. And the listeners here are fantastic at staying up on current events. And they always actually prime the pump probably about as well as Billy does. They'll hit me with a text or an email or something, phone call. The issue is, and it's going to be decided today, is should the affidavit for the search warrant be released today? And I've had a long, long discussion with Brian and then another discussion with Brian that really kind of steered away from this issue, but it's tied in. And let me explain how. I say, what's the rush? Why do we need to know what's in the affidavit right now? And I say that knowing that there's no criminal case yet. No one's been accused of a single thing. There's no presumption of innocence because there's been no accusation that people aren't innocent. There's been merely a search warrant. There's an ongoing investigation. I can see a number of legitimate reasons why the Department of Justice would want, for the time being, to keep this thing under wraps. But so the question I asked was, why in the world do we need it released right now? What in the heck do you think is in there? And then that pulled the cork off of the conspiracy bottle right there, big time. And so we got Brian that called in, and it devolved into this discussion of the murder of Jeffrey Epstein. And if you listened in that hour, some people, I think, got headaches over that. That was some of the texts that I have. But the gist of it was, there are no facts that say that Jeffrey Epstein was murdered. There's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of things that make you go, in fact, we should have that bumper music, things that make you go, hmm. There's a lot of things like that and things that need to be investigated, no doubt. But it got into this discussion really of Epstein. And again, I don't want to debate whether he's murdered or not, but it became this, you're not engaged in critical thinking on this. And the reason we need the affidavit released is because there will be evidence in there of the conspiracy, of the political motivations of those who seek to get into the president's house. I disagree. I don't think that evidence exists in there, because you would have to be a moron. And I'm not saying these people are the sharpest knives in the drawer. You'd have to be a moron bent on self-destruction to put in evidence of a political conspiracy inside an affidavit. Their reasons for keeping it secret may be multiple. There may be some that they don't like what's in there. But nobody's going to write an affidavit that reveals, and we're doing this because of this, or here's the dots you can connect to get us there. So we've had a bunch of texts that have come in, and someone said, you're saying if there's smoke, there's no fire because you can't see it. Come on, George, use common sense. No. What I'm saying is, just because there's smoke, I'm not going to jump to the conclusion that there's arson. And that's what's going on here. Jeffrey Epstein hung himself in a jail that had prison guards and cameras. The guards were not doing their jobs. The cameras were off. Therefore, he was murdered. No. Nope. Maybe the dude murdered himself. That was another texture. Maybe he murdered himself. But here's one. But there won't be answers. They wouldn't investigate Epstein. Thank you. Something else. Brian is right to question why Trump is being hounded and not Epstein's flight log and Hunter Biden and Joe's quid pro quo with Ukraine, and the list goes on. It is tit for tat, whataboutism, but this is where we are now. We have lost all trust within our institutions and media. I don't believe you believe that at all. I believe that if you heard the media sing the song that you wanted sung, you'd be like, okay, maybe the media isn't as horrible as I thought. I think if the FBI came forward and the DOJ prosecuted Hunter Biden for something, you would still question them. You would still question them. You'd be like, well, they can't be trusted, but they got this one right. I don't know, but there seems to be a huge lack of integrity from our political and media industries. Yeah, I agree. There is that. I mean, the check has to be us on this thing. And I mean, just free thinking people who are able to question things. But folks, why does this affidavit need to be released today? Tell me what's in there. Call up and tell me, what is it that's in this affidavit? We've got other calls coming in too here about Eric Odlin. I'm happy to take those. Phone line is open, 303-696-1971. Jim, you're on 710. What do you think, sir?
Hey, good morning. I heard that call with Eric Odlin. But first, I wanted to tell you just how entertaining it is to have a Trump-tard referring to you as gullible.
Yeah,
that's,
I am gullible.
Really good radio.
I am completely that's gullible. That's what I've been known for my whole life, man, is I just believe anything someone tells me. That's just it.
Yeah, and the moon landing never happened either, and Jesus is, that's what the J stands for, and Donald J. Trump is Jesus. He's not
for
a,
some people,
he's
that's
not a
true.
Grifter.
For some people, that's true. And what bothers me, Jim, is that if you're not in bed with them, then you're a never Trumper. Like there is no, there's no gray area in anything. It's just straight black and white, or maybe it's black and orange. I don't know, but you're either 100% behind every aspect of this man's life and everything he's done and the whole world's out to get him. And he's never done anything wrong, or you're a never Trumper. That's it. That's it for these folks.
It's
that's
entertaining
nuts.
As heck. It's fantastic stuff. It makes for really great radio.
I don't know. I think I've had. I think I had people
take
Advil.
This guy was a garbage president. Trump was a garbage president.
I don't believe that.
That gave us more liberals in our political spectrum than any other president.
And see, Jim, here's where you and I'll disagree. I think
different.
There's plenty of room for criticism. I don't believe he was a garbage president. I think he did some great things that other Republicans who wanted to be president talked about what would have never been able to pull off. So. There are definitely things I want to have him held accountable for and things I don't like about him, but I don't think he was a garbage president at all. I think he was pretty effective.
Well, then why don't the rhinos want him reelected?
Well, I don't know
I don't know who the rhinos
are, but I don't think it's the rhinos don't want him reelected. I think it's the rhinos don't want him renominated because they feel like that's it. That's our ticket to part two of Biden-Harris. That's my concern.
Correct, yeah.
That's my
liberals.
Concern. So it's not that I wouldn't want to see him be president. It's that I don't think he gets there from here.
Well, he can be president for another 4 years, but then after that, we're going to have more liberals than we can shake a stick at. And that's not a balanced government. So that's not a government where the energy industry is going to regain their subsidies that we feel have been lost.
I don't think it's just about subsidies. I think it's just about taking the foot of government off the necks of energy to continue to explore and develop. That's my sense of it. I'd be happy to end the subsidies. What I don't like is the thwarting of exploration.
Well, listen, the energy companies, their most recent quarter has been the most profitable in their history. And, of course, we are in another recession. So does the energy industry really need more help from the community, the nation? Do they really need more?
I'm not sure that it's help, Jim. It's that the Biden administration is trying to keep them from developing more oil and gas opportunities. I mean, you can see that. They say, well, we've granted more permits. It's not just the permits, man. It's not having them thwarted in court over this, that, and the other. It's allowing them to develop. That stuff hasn't happened. Isn't that real? Isn't that something we should address?
Well, I suppose, you know, in a fair world, which is the last thing we really want, the energy companies could go out and do what they want, where they want, without lawyers. But there's lawyers on both sides that are, you know, making sure that and lobbyists and the lawyers and the lobbyists aren't looking for a free market. They're not looking for more competition in their industry.
Absolutely
they're looking
right.
for less.
You are absolutely
yeah.
right.
I mean, do we, if we have an industry that is subsidized from the U.S. military escorting oil in and out of the Straits of Hormuz to taking or being able to operate on lands in our nation that are national lands, and being able to possibly not pay for the oil leaks and the pollution that occur when accidents happen. I mean, we've got to have responsibility. We can't say, hey, it's just the Democrats that need to be responsible. It's everybody. Hey. And that's what the politicians and the lobbyists do, is they say, hey, listen, we're going to forego responsibility for these people, but enforce responsibility for those people.
Jim, can I ask you along the lines of what we've been talking about here? You probably heard some of that discussion on the affidavit. Should that thing be released today? If not today, ever? Some other time? What are your thoughts on that?
I got to tell you, you're the legal expert in my world. And I think whatever you say probably goes. I don't have the background.
We need more callers like you, Jim, because anyone
who's
willing to... Brian just screamed profanity at the radio. Jim, you...
Brian is gullible. Not you, yeah, Brian.
I don't want to do the you call me, I call you this thing. But I get frustrated, and it's not just Brian. I mean, he's a listener, and he's obviously passionate about what he thinks is true. But what I get frustrated with are the people who want to argue with labels and names, and like the one you brought up earlier, like the rhino establishment. Those aren't meant to have a conversation. Those are meant to categorize, label, and dismiss. Very Saul Alinsky. And then the other one is to meet questions with questions. Like, you don't think, or how do you explain? It's like, that, those aren't answers. Those are just telling me how your brain works.
That's entertaining, and that's why you didn't cut the guy off before. Okay, we all know it's entertaining, and you're probably selling some advertising space. And I can't turn the radio off when some Trump-tard keeps referring to you as gullible, okay? But we can say libtards all day long. But now when I say Trump-tard, that's a gray area all of a sudden.
Someone will get it.
No, it's not. This is Freedom Radio, and we enjoy listening to the show.
Oh, buddy, I like that label. Jim, thank you for the phone call, man. Have a great rest of your day. I like that. Freedom Radio sounds super nice. And you are free to disagree with me, disagree with Jim, disagree with Brian. You can do it on text or on emails from 710KNUS or the 710KNUS app. I prefer that you have the guts to have the conversation right here, 303-696-1971. Before we cut away, though, I want to speak with you about a way to beautify your house. One of the great things about this show, in my opinion, is me. No, I'm kidding. One of the great things about this show is that the folks that we attract here that want to get to you and tell you about their product, these are folks who are the small business, locally grown. We want to make the most important things in your life better. And one of those folks are the good folks at Urban Lights. And what you know is that the best, fastest way to beautify your house is to look at those places where you entertain the most, where the family hangs out the most, and that's probably your kitchen, the heart of your home. And if you want that kitchen to be spectacular, lighting is a superb way to go about it. And our friends at Urban Lights, they do it all when it comes to lighting. I have on the books, Chelsea and I are going out to do the tour of the 20,000 square foot award-winning National Lighting Showroom of the Year, where we get to see all the lighting, ceiling fan, home decor stuff that they have. I am excited. I may not be able to buy the house that I want, and more it sounds like the one that Billy talked to us about in the 6 o'clock hour on Iguana Island, but I don't think I'm going to be able to get there from here just yet. Maybe that's our investment. Nonetheless, you get the chance to make the home that you're in even better through lighting, through ceiling fans, all that other stuff, and Urban Lights is the place to go. And here's the deal. You get to them right now, it's 40% off. 40% off all lighting and home decor. That's the bomb, and they'll give you the best prices guaranteed. Urban Lights folks are friendly. They're experts. They're ready to answer any of your questions. You should go to the big showroom. That's what I'm doing. Right there, just south of I-25 on Santa Fe, between Florida and Mississippi. They're open 7 days a week. You should start with, but not end with, going online at UrbanLightsDenver.com. That's UrbanLightsDenver.com. When we come back, more of your texts, which have been blowing up, more of your phone calls, and we'll continue this conversation. That affidavit, should it be released today? We'll keep you up to date on whether it happens while we're on air. What do you think is going to be in there? George Brockler on The George Show, 710-KNUS. KNUS, we've got another couple calls on the line here. I'm going to try to get to them here before the top of the hour. Vlad, you are on with the George.
Yeah, hey,
guy.
Hey, George.
What's going on,
Vladimir? How are you doing?
I'm living the dream. How are you doing?
Hey, you know, I just have a little complaint about
you're a little condescending
when you, after talking to a caller, you change your voice and make it a little more high pitched and like you're mocking them or
I am mocking
in
them.
A way.
There's no doubt I'm mocking them when I do that.
I'm trying to tell you that if you just explain what somebody said in your normal voice, it just makes more sense, and I kind of listen to it more than when you raise your voice and, well, they just said this and that to me, and you know, it's just a minor complaint. I really like your show. I'm a former army artillery. Thanks for your service.
Yeah, thank you.
And your continued service. And I do listen to your show. I listened to Peter's before that. And, you know, you've got some great points. I agree with you about the affidavit. I agree with you about Epstein, but I just, you know, if I repeat something that you say after you tell me, you know, and I'm talking to another friend and you're my friend, but I didn't agree with what you said, I don't raise my voice and try to mock you a little bit, not mock you, just be a little condescending.
Well,
let's say that.
I really do appreciate the feedback, but let's be clear. Those callers are not my friends. They're listeners. I'm a radio host. I don't know them outside of this show. But I will tell you, if somebody makes a valid point, and you've heard me say this before too, I will discuss it in the exact same way I'm discussing it with you. But when somebody calls up, berates me, labels me, name calls me, and their defense of all of that is not to provide facts for their opinion, but to just merely ask more questions, I am going to mock the hell out of that because I don't think that's persuasive or credible.
Okay. I get it. I listen to you, but it's just a little grating to me because my wife, I used to do that with her. You know, I'd say,
yeah.
Well, you said that. And she'd say, you're raising your voice. You're changing your voice. I didn't say that to you. And she made me aware of what I do. And I'm just, you know, if you continue to do it, I'm still going to listen to you.
Well, I appreciate the input, my man. I really do. Let me ask you, on the affidavit thing, you agree. Do you think it ought to be made public? If not, why not? If so, when?
No, I don't think it should be made public. I don't think, you know, how many affidavits have they made public in the history of the FBI and the Department of Justice? I don't remember too many of them. And just because it's Donald Trump, our former president, I do believe that it was unprecedented, you know, first time in history that a president was at his home raided by the FBI, guns drawn. I did see people holding M4s, but they were, you know, the only thing I noticed was that they were Secret Service holding M4s, and he wasn't even there. They were parked outside his gate, and their body armor said Secret Service. So I didn't understand that, and I didn't see anybody else carrying a gun or any of that. I didn't even see any photos of the FBI guy. So I kind of disagree with people like Hannity or
they show the cars with the rockers on, the reds and blues on at night and all that stuff, and I think that's because those are the only pictures of a law enforcement presence that they have because these FBI guys went in plain clothes, tried to keep it low-key. None of that, by the way, is a justification for an illegal search if that's what it was. But I, like you, man, I think there's good stuff in the affidavit. We ought to know about it. But right now, I don't get it. I don't get it. Hey, I appreciate the criticism too, Vlad. I will take that to heart and give it some thought. I'm not sure I can stop myself. I mean, I'm only 35, but some of these things are stuck and ingrained in me, man. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks a lot, man.
Oh, sorry, Vlad. Hey, I really appreciate the call. And by the way, that takes guts, too. I appreciate him calling in and letting me know his thoughts on it. He is absolutely right. I am mocking some of these arguments because they just sound nuts to me. They are not the same as some of the other arguments you folks make in text or on the call. But we'll keep it going when we come back. George Brockler, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.